Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of June 11, 2021. It's good to be back this week. This week, we pray for our graduates at all levels and for those seeking to move on to future careers that their faith may always remain in the Lord and their lives may glorify Him. If you would, please share this podcast with others. Our first lesson is the 17th chapter of Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest, and all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. Our second reading is from the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul writes, For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. For we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. So we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Our gospel reading is from the 4th chapter of St. Mark. And Jesus said, The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And he said, With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. And the reading for our discussion is from Genesis chapter 39. Now, Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice." And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house." As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Have you ever been falsely accused? In the eighth commandment, God tells us, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Joseph found himself in jail due to false accusations, but the greater reason is that God was preparing everything for the bigger role that Joseph was to play in becoming Pharaoh's greatest advisor. Joseph was around before the law of Moses. He's an example of someone who is doing everything right, but his brothers were jealous of him because he called some of them out on their wrongdoing, and because their father favored him and gave him nice things, and because of his dreams. Sooner or later, we are all going to come across younger people who have authority over us in one way or another. And as someone who's been around the block before, that can be hard for us to take. No one wants to be rebuked by know-it-all. But there are times when these young upstarts can be in the right. There are times we can learn from people who are younger or come from a different station in life. Perhaps Joseph was one such upstart with his brothers, and they didn't like his attitude. But regardless, Joseph was righteous in his behavior. Though he clued his family in on his dreams, we don't necessarily get the idea that he was overly arrogant about it. In fact, there may not have been any problem at all with Joseph's attitude, but the fault was entirely with his family. Knowing that you're going to be passed over can be hard to take, and hearing Joseph's dreams did not sit well with them. So, through bad will and negligence, Joseph is sold into slavery. For a second, I want to draw your attention to verses 27 to 29 of Genesis 37. We're going to go back a few chapters just for a second. I just wanted to revisit how Joseph got sold into slavery in the first place. There, the brothers were discussing selling their brother. And in verse 28, it speaks of Midianite traders. And then it says that they drew Joseph up and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels. Here's the question. Was it Judah and his brothers who were present who did the selling? Or was it the Midianite traders? I am not fully clear on that. The heading on the ESV Bible infers that Joseph was sold by his brothers, but the headings, they're placed there to help us. They're not in the actual text of Scripture itself. The Lutheran Study Bible notes indicate that sometimes Midianite and Ishmaelite are used interchangeably as terms, okay? But the notes also discuss that the Midianite connection with the Ishmaelites is unclear. Perhaps they kind of mixed as groups, and perhaps they sometimes separated. Why are they mentioned there in the context of that verse in the first place? Unless there's an additional defining clue in the original text, usually the suffix, the ending of a word in Hebrew would give us the pronoun they. So my question is whether they, as in who sold Joseph, whether they refers to the Midianite traders or Joseph's brothers. The original text might clear that up, but it might not. Is the reason the Midianites are mentioned so close to the sale of Joseph because it was they who drew Joseph out of the pit while his brothers were discussing selling Joseph? That was my interpretation a few weeks ago. And why does it say then that Reuben went to the pit and then came back to his brothers? So my previous podcast on this takes the direction that it was the Midianites who sold Joseph and not his brothers. Most times we hear from commentaries that Joseph's brothers sold him. It is possible that the original text may leave that detail unresolved for us. Either Joseph's brothers sold him outright, or his sale to the Ishmaelites was an accident as a result of their negligence. Joseph is sold by the Ishmaelites when they're down in Egypt. They had brought him down to Egypt. And this has gotten really real for Joseph now. He's a slave. He has an Egyptian master. Could you imagine being taken from your family, being taken from your homeland, being held in captivity, being forced into labor? The master saw the mark of God's favor on Joseph. Potiphar was his name. Anything placed in his hands was a success. And Joseph was lifted up over the house. But God has no intention of leaving him in Potiphar's household. Joseph caught the eye of Potiphar's wife, and in dealing with her shenanigans, he remains righteous. He does what he's supposed to do. She bears false witness. Potiphar, Joseph's master, is angered, and Joseph ends up in jail. But what happens in jail? The Lord was with Joseph, and pretty soon Joseph was put in charge of all the prisoners who were there. If Joseph had languished entirely in solitary confinement, would his prison time have led him to meeting the person who would be responsible for getting him out of prison and coming before Pharaoh? God was going to bring Joseph before Pharaoh. That was part of his overall plan. The final verse of Genesis 39 tells us, "In whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed." I think we all want certain things for our lives. We all have dreams. We all have plans for the way it should go for us. Do you think that Joseph had any intention of ending up in slavery or any intention of ending up in prison or what came after? Would we even know anything more about Joseph if he had remained in the wilderness as a simple shepherd? We probably wouldn't know much more than we do about Joseph's older brothers if that had happened. Our lives are a gift from God, and sometimes bad things happen to us, even when we seek to be good people, even when we seek to do the right things. Certain life events can happen that we wouldn't wish on anyone. I have a friend who is now with the Lord, my friend John, who I met on Vicarage in Green Bay, Wisconsin. He used to call me up even years later and tell me that he was praying for me. John, before he completed a full career as a Marine, as a master sergeant, told me that he had fought in some of the most difficult fighting in the South Pacific, including places like Iwo Jima. He said that it was the Marines, who landed on the islands in order to clear the way for other forces so that they could stretch further and further across the Pacific. They were always the first ones in. And John made it through the war, and he lived a beautiful life with his wife Alice post-war. John told me once that prior to the war, his ambition was to be a school teacher. And I believe that John would have made a very fine teacher, a great role model for his students. I would have loved to have been in a classroom like that. But it was war that changed his entire destiny. His life would have been very different had the war not come along. And John saw his share of horrors. I know that there are many vets that wouldn't talk about their war experiences. They really couldn't. But John was pretty matter-of-fact about his service. And I have to say that he was probably the most well-adjusted vet that I ever met after having gone through war. In his vocation as a soldier, and in his peacetime vocation as a husband to his wife, and as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, John was a bit like Joseph. The work of his life was prospered in spite of the hardships he dealt with through the war. The war took him places he did not want to go, but God took care of him. Without trying to sound like a motivational poster, I have to say that sometimes it's in the adversities that we're shaped by the most in our life experiences. They can be an important part of our formation in life. If we always have it easy, we may not have the chance to rise to the occasion like we do in difficult circumstances. There may be things in life we go through where we ask, "Why me? Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me?" Sometimes we may get passed over because that may be really what is best for us, kind of like Joseph's brothers. That can be a test and a learning experience for us too. But sometimes there are some Joseph-like plans in the works for us. Look for them in your life's experiences. Life doesn't go according to your plans. Has God given you a special gift, a special aptitude? Think of Joseph, for whom everything prospered in his hands. God gave him the gift of administration. If you have a gift that you can use to virtuous purposes, don't bury it. Use it. Think of Jesus' parable of the talents. And whatever happens in this life, we know that Jesus is preparing a place for those who love him. This earthly home will be destroyed, but we have an eternal dwelling from God, not made with hands. In that context, from 2 Corinthians 5, The Apostle Paul is talking about the fact that we will have eternal life. We may groan on earth, but what is mortal will be swallowed up by life, Paul says. Or think of the author of Hebrews, what he would say: stay the course, set aside sin, and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, your purposes and designs are a mystery to me, but I know that through all of this I have life and salvation on account of your Son, Jesus. Help us all to see in our lives your purposes and your guidance at work, bringing to our remembrance your great love for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who are graduating from various levels of schooling, for the little ones who graduate from preschool and kindergarten. Watch over them and keep them all their years. Keep us all in safety through all our days who love you and look to you for guidance. Be with our eighth graders who are moving on to high school and help them through the uncertainty and changes of their high school years. Help their preparations to be a blessing and a boost for their work in the years to come. Be with our high school graduates and bless them as they move on to work in a meaningful occupation, and help and care for those who go on to college and postgraduate work. Lord, ever help them to keep their eyes on you in faith, to not be misled by the false teachings of the world, or to be misled by the devil or the flesh, but to be steadfast in their faith, grounded in your word, nourished by your sacraments, and sustained by your Holy Spirit. Guide us, Lord, Heavenly Father, all the days of our life, that we may glorify you in our work and our deeds. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verses today come from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 6 and 7. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. All our verses and passages come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Lord of glory, you have bought us with your life blood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice, and with that have freely given blessings countless as the sand to the unthankful and the evil, with your own unsparing hand. Grant us hearts, dear Lord, to give you gladly, freely of your own, with the sunshine of your goodness, melt our thankless hearts of stone, till our cold and selfish natures, warmed by you, at length believe that more happy and more tears to give than to receive. Wondrous honor you have given to our humblest charity. In your own mysterious sentence, you have done it all to me. Can it be, O gracious Master, that you deign for alms to sue, saying by your poor and needy, give as I have given to you? Lord of glory, you have brought us with your life blood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. Give us faith to trust you boldly, hope to stay our souls on you. But, O best of all your graces, we